We are talking about the North Bay fires once again today. It's just plain hard to imagine the scale of destruction in the wildfires that burned in California north of the Bay Area. They started 3 weeks ago today. More than 8,000 homes destroyed across Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties represents a number bigger than total homes in some of our smaller communities in the region. Firefighters were outnumbered. Help came from all over the West, including fire crews from Oregon who went down to help out. Those include some of our guests. We have Kelly Burns, who's a battalion chief with Ashland Fire Rescue. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning to you and all your listeners. Thank you.
Two other guests from Ashland Fire Rescue. Tim Hegdahl is a firefighter.
That's correct. Good morning.
And Dave Roselip, an engineer. Good to see you as well.
You too.
And we welcome back with another perspective Ashley Tressel, who is just recently a former reporter with the Ukiah Daily Journal. Ashley, thank you for joining us once again.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here. Kelly Burns, let's start with you and the folks from Ashland Fire Rescue. How did the trip to California come about?
When we go on a deployment to help some other area with fire resources, it's usually done through the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office. And typically at our level here in Ashland, we'll receive a phone call and they'll tell us to start gathering up people to staff an engine. So the night before, on the 10th, they were making phone calls to say, hey, can you go on a deployment? And we were told we could possibly be gone 2 to 3 weeks, which can be challenging if you've got a family locally here and stuff too. But a lot of us wanted the opportunity, so those of us that are here said yes.
So was there some paperwork, some sort of bureaucratic stuff to clear up before you could be cleared to go?
That certainly happens at a level above ours at the State Fire Marshal's Office and the fire chief levels, yes.
So let's talk to the other guys in the room. Dave Roselip, give us a sense of, I mean, you've been on fires before. This is what you do for a living. But from what you guys had just seen in the news before you even went there, what were you expecting to see?
Well, fires like this, every time we go over to Chetco or down to Napa or one of these places, you never really exactly know what you're going to be doing because there's always direct fire attack. There's mop up. There's a lot of different phases you could be caught in. So we just went down there with the expectation that we were going to get an assignment and we'd have to be able to adapt to it as we came across things.
So an assignment is one thing, Tim Hegdahl, but you know, you're going to a place where essentially a number of homes roughly equivalent to like maybe a third to a half of the number of homes in the town you usually work in, Ashland, were destroyed. I mean, does that change anything about I know you guys are professionals, you do this for a living, but still there's a human level too, isn't there?
There definitely is a human level. I would say that you could look at the grand scale of what occurred. For us specifically, we were given fairly specific assignments to divisions, particularly on the Atlas Fire down in Napa County. And that kind of makes our assignment kind of pared down so that we can effectively function within a certain area of the fire, the grand fire area. So on a grand scale, there was a lot of destruction, a very great outpouring from the community, a lot of support from people, and very well organized as far as getting in resources from other states.
So you guys knew pretty much from the time you hit the ground, Kelly Burns, what it was you were going to be doing and where you were going to be doing it?
I think you get a different, for every operation that you go to, you do get a different response. So I think Cal Fire had a very good organization for us while we were there. But, I mean, just to give you some example, when we were en route, they were saying we were going to go to Santa Rosa. But within, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of being on the road, they're like, no, we're going to Napa. That's where we need the resources. So it's a pretty dynamic process. I think all of us feel a little bit of relief once we're given a specific assignment because then we go, okay, now we know where that's at. And going to California, of course, having never been asked to go to California before, that's kind of an honor. But I think what I learned, of course, is that the fires that they have there, we fight them the same way as they fight them. So,
fires are fires.
Fires are fires.
Yeah. So what kind of tasks were you expected to do once you heard of your assignment in Napa? This will be Tim.
Well, our initial assignment the first day that we were down there, and we were assigned to 24-hour shifts on the fire, was structure defense, some of the homes in the fire area. There were areas the fire had already burned through, but there was a lot of unburned fuels in the area we were assigned to, and a lot of homes in that area as well. So our assignment was making contact with some of the homeowners that were still in the area, as well as prepping structures and familiarizing ourselves with the terrain in the event that the fire did make a run at those structures. And then mopping up where we could. There were some hot spots, several hot spots around some of the structures we were assigned to as well. So that was primarily our initial phases of our assignment.
So the fire was right into the neighborhoods you were working in?
Correct. Okay. Some of it had already burned through that area, but there were still some unburned fuels left, and the fire was still very close. And so we were prepping those structures. And being from out of the area, it's really imperative for us to familiarize ourselves with the terrain. So that in the event that the fire does make a run at us, we know how to use the proper tactics to combat
it. You know the escape routes and stuff like that?
Correct.
Some of those places were evacuated. Some of the places we were in, there were structures that were lost, and some of them there were structures that had been partially burned as well. And I felt it was kind of interesting. Like, we probably did most of our work performing as what a wildland 20-person crew would do. Versus what a structural team of four would do. We did a lot of work on the hillsides, mopping up hot spots and stuff, which Tim being an old wildland firefighter and Jennifer Haddon, one of our other firefighters, being a former hotshot, this was kind of their element. So
there are differences in that. This gets pointed out a fair amount, that there are differences in wildland firefighting versus structural firefighting. And so, Tim, you know both of these, and were you using skills you hadn't had a chance to rely upon for a while?
Oh, yeah. I was a firefighter with the Oregon Department of Forestry several years ago. And, the primary reason for the type of engine we brought down there was that it was a large engine that could supply a lot of water to defend homes, primarily, from the wildfire. But in the event that the fire is not imminently threatening them, there's a lot of prep work that we need to do ahead of time, and that involves use of hand tools and chainsaws and things like that to clear out fuels around the homes to make them more defendable so that should the fire come through.
This is sort of like the defensible space discussions we have with, this, with the folks at ODF, but basically in a more imminent kind of situation.
Very much so, yes. Yeah, we're trying to do a lot of those same tasks, but more with the event occurring around us.
Tim Hegdahl, Kelly Burns, and Dave Roselip from Ashland Fire Rescue went down to help with the fires in the North Bay. They're here with us in the studio. Ashley Tressel is a former reporter with the Ukiah Daily Journal who covered the stories up close. Ashley, last time we talked to you, I think you had been spending most of your time right there in Mendocino County. Had you had a chance to get to Santa Rosa or see some of the places with the broader levels of destruction?
I didn't for the newspaper, but I did on the weekend going to San Francisco, drive by and just see some of it on the side of the highway. And then in the town, the smoke was thicker than anything I had seen. Everybody was wearing masks. We thought we had it bad here, and it was just as bad, and the smoke was even worse there. So it just put it into perspective a little.
Well, you know, as we're talking to the firefighters whose job it is to go look at and work on fires, as a reporter, you're going to end up seeing fires from time to time, too. Does this compare with anything you had seen before?
No, I had never been in any sort of disaster situation. I'd only been on the job for a year, and I mainly worked back home in Florida. And so, you know, the worst that we get is hurricanes and tropical storms. So nothing as immediately destructive as this disaster, no.
And then as the last time we talked to you, the evacuations were still in effect and people were gathering at places like Ukiah High School. I wonder if you had a chance to watch those centers demobilize and people go back into their homes.
I wasn't actually on the ground watching people go back into their homes, but I did hear a lot about it. And then there was a community meeting after residents had been let back in. And there were a lot of questions about the cleanup process. The Department of Toxic Substances Control is out there now, and they're saying it could take another 3 weeks for them to be finished, and then the Army Corps will go in with the heavy debris cleanup. But people are very worried about construction, the availability of construction work contractors here, and then just little questions like, you know, can I remove this tree from my property? Can I go on my property? Those answers were a little fuzzy last week, so I hope that everything was cleared up.
I noticed the discussion in a couple of articles in your paper and other organizations as well about the issue of toxic materials in the neighborhoods where mm-hmm. fires burn through. What's the major concern there?
So right now they're concerned with household hazardous waste. They told us, you know, things like car batteries, just everyday chemicals. They were cleaning up some oil drums. There's some heavy waste out there, it being a rural area. But with the rain that we got the first couple of days before the cleanup started, we talked to an expert who was worried about some chemical runoff. And the county is very aware of the danger to our water supply. because this area is right by the Eel River, which is where we draw our water supply from. So that, I think, is still a concern. So they're going to try to get it done before the rain comes back in.
And so for the guys from Ashland Fire Rescue who traveled down there, what kinds of concerns were you hearing, and what sorts of ways did you have to equip yourselves or dress yourselves to get ready for the kinds of things you were expecting?
Well, I think what Ashley was saying was about that she saw the people wearing masks and stuff too, and so it was very similar to what we experienced in August here.
Right, in the Rogue Valley.
Right, the air was thick with smoke, and most people were wearing masks. I think when we were out in the town, because occasionally once you're working, if you do have a time period off, you need to go to the store to get socks or things like that, because you're always needing supplies, and we would run into people. You couldn't walk 10 feet without having somebody come up to you and say, hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for helping out our community. A lot of people recognized Ashland Fire because they have family members up here in the Rogue Valley. So that was on a personal level, I think, especially for these guys too, that I work with, like that was... It was nice to be acknowledged for the work that we were doing. When we would drive to our area of operation, hopefully I'm staying on track for you here, we would go up this long road, the Silverado Trail Road, which is northeast of Napa, where power lines were melting and going across the road. There was husks left from these big houses that were there, some that were still partially there, and that would be on our way to the area that we would be working in too. So a lot of destruction.
I know that there's a level of routine that you guys have when you're working. I mean, you're at the firehouse or you're not, it seems like. But how, Dave Roselip, do you get used to having your engine and your equipment and your people in a very different place? And what was your home base? Where did you guys sleep, for example?
Oh, they had us set up at the Napa County Fairgrounds, which is a nice big open area. We had strike teams from all over California and Arizona and Oregon. As far as having the engine there, it was nice to have the group from Southern Oregon together. A lot of firefighters who have even been firefighters here at Ashland moved on to other places. So our ability to work with each other was pretty well maintained. And then having our own engine set up the same way it always is, our own equipment to bring along with us, helped out an awful lot. That way, when we have our assignment given to us, we can take all the stuff that we already know and just apply it to a new situation. And it's something we normally do during fire responses anyway, because never quite sure when that's going to happen or where.
Right. Tim Hagdahl, you're the guy who's got both structural experience and wildland firefighting experience as well, having spent some time with the Oregon Department of Forestry. When the things you were seeing down there, I mean, was there any basis of comparison to stuff you had seen previously in your career?
Yeah, there were some differences. I had been a part of a number of fire camps here in Oregon through my experience at ODF, and this was the first time I had been to the state of California for a wildland fire camp experience. There were a lot of similarities as far as the structure of the camp and the facilities that they had and provided for food and showering and things of that nature. Some differences more on the level of how it was run by CAL FIRE versus ODF, as far as the structure of the camp and where you would receive supplies and how you would do that. But for the most part, things were quite a bit similar to my experiences from the past. I would say on a much larger scale this time. I think that we had somewhere around 3,000 people in fire camp by the end of our deployment.
Yeah.
Which was about 6 days in for us. And so it had, the ranks of the fire camp had swelled quite a bit just in the time that we were there. From the day one to day six, you could see more and more units come in, and that made it more logistically challenging from a supply standpoint and just fitting the people in the area. But as far as being out and going out on shifts, out on the fire lines, it kind of alleviated some of that strain on the camp because you don't have everybody there at one time.
Kelly Burns, I mean, as a battalion chief, you're used to handling situations where you're trying to get people organized in a hurry, but this is a whole lot of people trying to get organized across a fairly broad area. I just wonder if it sort of boggles your organizational mind to see what people had to do to get things whipped into shape quickly there.
It does, and Ashland is a smaller pool of employees and a smaller experience level. This is the whole, upgraded level of experience. I feel like I learned a lot just watching how CAL FIRE organize things. I reflect on what Tim says about the difference between an ODF camp and a CAL FIRE camp. CAL FIRE wants their people to wear badge shirts all the time in camp, and I think some of us feel like if you're coming back from a long shift or a shift where you've worked your tails off, you want to be able just to relax for a few hours and stuff. And I think those Cal Fire guys have a pretty good program where they're still putting on their badges, they're still shining their boots. So it's very different. We adapt to it, of course, because we're their guests.
We're talking about the North Bay fires from the perspective of three members of Ashland Fire Rescue travel down there. That was Kelly Burns. You also heard Tim Hegdahl and Dave Roselip. Ashley Tressel joins us as well, who has been living down there and working full-time for the Ukiah Daily Journal. You can join our conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe some questions you have about things that were seen down there, things you've seen in the news, things you want to know more about. We'd love to hear from you. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Ashley Tressel, I want to come back to something you had said about the cleanup process and the Army Corps of Engineers taking away the debris. This is a fairly unusual step, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It was Cal Recycle was tossed around at first when Representative Jared Huffman came in one of his visits and he spoke to county supervisors about Cal Recycle. And then the next week we heard that Army Corps was coming in. And they appeared at a community meeting and answered a bunch of questions and shocked the crowd, I think, when they said that they were going to be ripping up whole foundations. People didn't like to hear that.
Oh, because they weren't thinking in terms of, this is a little soon for them, I guess, to think about the complete destruction of the property that's already been burned.
Yeah, toxicity. Yeah, I think they just, everybody's been in a sort of haze and it's been, tensions are high and I think, first thing on their minds was people were asking, you know, can I accompany DTCS on my property and try to dig for family heirlooms or valuables? And so I don't know, you know, it's not, I doubt that they will find anything in that area.
Just because the places were so incinerated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also the concerns about construction once the sites are cleared. I mean, is there a timeline for when crews could get in there? And the obvious question that people were asking at the meeting that you mentioned was, how are they going to find this many crews to build this many houses at one time?
Yeah, Army Corps, I think, has been a little optimistic in saying that they want to be done with all cleanup by the new year. And our county is aware of that. They say it could take, you know, a couple of months beyond that or more. And I was about the building issue. I was speaking to a local contractor in the town that was burned, and he said he thought that there was enough workers available. He just didn't know if they would be willing, you know, if they are active or if they would be willing to do that work here.
Why would they not be? I mean, it's decent money, isn't
it? It is, yeah. He just seemed, he wasn't sure if they were going to want to be available. I'm not sure why, but another contractor I spoke to from the North Coast Builders Exchange said that just a lack of contractors is a problem everywhere, and both of those offices were getting many, many calls to come inspect properties. So contractors are out there, and of course, so the one from North Coast Builders Exchange, he said, you know, some people will be moving on, though. They will not choose to rebuild.
So where are people living in the short term, Ashley? I mean, are they staying with friends, family? Are they in motels? What's the situation there?
Yeah, some of them, they're in those situations. And then, you know, someone asked about emergency trailers from FEMA, and FEMA replied that those are months and months away. So no one's counting on that yet. FEMA has said that they've given people money to stay in hotels and motels, and then people can start putting trailers on friends and family's property in the meantime or on their own property. The county's working on expediting the permit process for that so that they can be staying in trailers, and then they'll try to expedite the process for building permits also this week.
That's Ashley Tressel from the formerly of the Ukiah Daily Journal, just left on our way back to Florida. Let me come back to the firefighters in the room. So at the time you guys left from Napa, I mean, how different did the situation appear from what was in place when you arrived? Kelly Burns?
So we left at about noon on the 11th for the drive down, and the closer you would get to the Napa fairgrounds, the more smoke you could see. You could see the giant fire column off in the distance. I think we've seen some of those pyrocumulus around here. If you think about the fire that we had up on the Green Springs a few years ago,
right, that big column of smoke.
And then once we got into town, there was kind of that haze that we were used to for this August in the Rogue Valley. I would say it wasn't quite as thick as what we were used to, and I think all of us were pretty relieved once our own smoke left the valley and the air is fresh, and then getting back into it, we were like, oh, this again, okay. There's a lot of traffic on the road. To take it to the next step, once we got our assignment and we're driving up to our area of assignment, there's still areas of active fire that you can see in the hills to the left and to the right of you. There's areas that have already burned through. I heard someone from one of the forestry departments call it like a mosaic burn. So mm-hmm. if you were to look at a sky view of it, you'd see just these pockets that had burned in different places, but lots of unburned places as well, too, which is why I think we got so serious about doing mop-up around there, because big fires always start small. So if you leave a little small fire to smolder for a day or so, that could turn into your next event.
So what was an average day like, Dave Rose? Like, were you spending a lot of time like around one house, two houses, that sort of thing?
For the most part, what we were doing was we would take 4 or 5 rows of houses, and we would go from one end to the other, checking all the fields and the hot spots, checking around the houses to make sure there wasn't a group of gas cans or anything flammable up against them, just doing everything we could to make sure that we didn't have another wind-driven event kicking off more sparks and fires. So we'd be given a swath of that, and the next engine in our strike team would be given another and then another and another until we had what they call black-lined, an area around the edge of the fire so that it wouldn't kick back up again.
So these are visiting firefighters. Ashley Tressel, I read your piece online about the visiting reporters. This is a bit of a stink that went on in that area that people were a little concerned about, people getting the wrong idea elsewhere in the country from people doing the story who weren't from there.
Yeah, our residents were a little frustrated and upset with that. First of all, that there seemed to be no outside coverage of our fire. And then as the coverage came in, it seemed that there was a bit of an incorrect impression of the area. And I heard from my editor, she saw that the Associated Press said the town of Mendocino instead of it's the county of Mendocino. And then, I guess people were not happy with being lumped in with wine country and then maybe getting one sentence at the bottom, just not much attention from the Bay Area or national outlets during the first week or so.
All right.
We got some.
All right. I want to thank you all for your efforts during the fire. The folks from Ashland Fire Rescue are Kelly Burns, Tim Hegdahl, and Dave Roselip. Ashley Tressel just left her employ at the Ukiah Daily Journal. Best of luck, Ashley. This is about the last time we'll talk to you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you all for joining us today on The Exchange.